Keep thy diligence, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There is an important focus here upon the heart. And in order to know the significance of what Solomon is actually saying about it, there are three matters that we must give consideration to in this statement. The first is the perception that we are to possess. We need to perceive, we need to see and to know what exactly Solomon means by the heart here. And then secondly, there is the uniqueness we are to understand about the heart, because he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's so special, what's so unique about the heart that out of it flow the issues of life? And then the last matter which we'll be giving consideration to tonight is the duty we are to discharge. We are to give all diligence to keep the heart. So let's notice, first of all, the perception that we are to possess. And this is with regard to the heart. What is the heart spoken of here? Well, let me explain to you that in the Bible, the heart is spoken of in at least a sevenfold manner. You want to see that? And I would ask you, especially young people, if you would give your attention, not that you don't, but that you will particularly hear. First of all, there is the heart in its literal sense. That organ that abides somewhere in here in our bodies, that's strawberry-shaped or pear-shaped, it pumps the blood through our arteries and veins. The heart, this physical organ, is vital to our physical existence, and the quality of our existence or our life is determined by it. Now, in the Bible, it is referred to. For instance, we read in a certain place in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, whenever Absalom, the rebellious son of King David, was caught in the boughs of an oak by his head and by his hair that he took so much pride in, Joab came and put three darts through Absalom's heart. That was the physical organ. You learn elsewhere in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 24 by another king called Jehoram. An arrow was shot whenever he and another king were fleeing. Jehu, who was to be a king, shot the arrow, and it went right through his back, and the Bible says the arrow went out of his heart. The literal heart. The Bible speaks of the literal heart on few occasions. But then again, the heart is looked at in another way, in the metaphorical sense. That means it's not literal at all. There is figurative language being used. For instance, let me refer your attention to whenever the children of Israel were passing through the Red Sea, whenever God miraculously opened up the sea to them. The Egyptians that were following thought they could do the same, but the Lord brought the waters back again and the Egyptian army drowned in the sea. Whenever Moses was singing his song and Miriam were both singing the song of triumph, we are told that in part of it they made reference to the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Now, the sea doesn't have a heart the way you and I have a physical heart. But here's a metaphor. The sea is looked upon there like a body, and the heart was the heart was the place, the depths of the sea where the Egyptians were buried. Let me give you another illustration of it in the words of the Lord Jesus. He said in Matthew 12, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart, in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The earth doesn't have a literal heart. It's a metaphor. It's a picture. The earth is looked like a is looked upon like a body, and the heart is that part in it, like what we have in our ordinary body. The Lord Jesus Christ was buried in the heart of the earth. You remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's another wonderful instance of this where the Bible tells us, until the day star arise in your hearts. Well, there's certainly not going to be any star sitting on our physical heart. He's not talking about that. But he's looking upon our hearts like a sky here. And the day star is that which is arising in the sky. It's a metaphor. It's a picture. Or to put it another way, in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 26, looking upon it again as a metaphor, Solomon was describing a certain woman or certain women, and he said, whose heart is snares and nets. Well, of course nobody's literal heart is a snare and a net. But Solomon was saying something about this woman, that her heart was best described like snares and nets. It's a metaphor. The heart is a metaphor, and as we'll see in this text when we get to it more deeply in Proverbs 4 and 23, out of it are the issues of life. There is a metaphor there that's hidden, and we will see that later. But let me say the third thing about the heart. Not only does the Bible speak of it in the physical sense and in the metaphorical or pictorial sense, but it speaks about it in the mental sense or the intellectual sense. Let me give you an instance of this here. You know that the mind does the thinking, does the planning, it does the purposing, it does the reasoning. The mind does that. But yet in the Bible, the word heart comes before us in instances where there is the mental aspect or the mental dimension to it. Again, let me give the instance. Whenever God looked down upon this world, young people, away in the days of Noah, the Bible tells us that he said this. In Genesis chapter 6, you'll find it. He looked down upon the earth, and it repented him that he had made man, because the place was a disgrace, it was wicked. And it says that the Lord saw that man's wickedness was great on the earth. And the only thoughts and imaginations of his heart were only wicked and evil continually. The thoughts of the heart? There's the word used with regard to the mind. Listen again, whenever Daniel was brought as a captive along with his three friends to Babylon, you remember they tried to bring him in, give him wine, give him the best of food because they want to make him look good for Belshazzar or for Nebuchadnezzar. But the Bible says Daniel and his friends refused it. Here's the reason. Daniel purposed in himself that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed in his heart, the Bible says. It was his heart that did the purposing. So the heart's used here mentally. Let me give you another instance of this. You remember a time whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was in a certain house. There were four men that brought their friend who was a cripple. He was worse than a cripple. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. They brought him on a bed carried by four. They couldn't find a way in through the door because the crowd was so thick around the house. So they got him up the side of the house where there were always steps. And they got him to the roof, and they broke open the roof and let him down. That was great faith on their part. But the Lord Jesus was in the house teaching, and there were Pharisees, scribes there, enemies of Christ. And as soon as that man, that young man was led down, the Lord Jesus, what the Bible says, saw their faith and said to the man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then all these old scribes and Pharisees began to think inwardly, who does he think he is? Why does this man blaspheme God? Who can forgive sins but God only? And the Lord Jesus Christ answered their thinking, and he said, why reason ye in your heart? So the heart is looked upon in the mental aspect as well. One other reference to this. You remember the shepherds, whenever they heard the wonderful news from the angelic being about a Savior being born in Bethlehem, whenever they went away, the angels went away, the shepherds said, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this great sight that has been made known unto us." So they went to Mary and Joseph and where the baby Jesus was. And then the Bible says when they saw it, they went back and they told everybody they saw what they had heard and what they had seen that night. And the Bible says that people wondered at that, but Mary pondered, thought about all these things in her heart. So the Bible speaks of the heart literally, this organ in our bodies. It speaks of it metaphorically, uses a picture language. It speaks of it now mentally. But let me say something else. It also speaks of it emotionally. I think we're pretty familiar with that, don't we? We say about such and such a person, "Oh, she's cold-hearted," or "he's cold-hearted." Or, "My heart goes out to him," or "My heart goes out to her," or "I love you with all my heart," or "he or she has set his or her heart on that matter." In other words, there's emotion tied up here. Do you remember whenever Absalom was mounting his rebellion against David in 2 Kings chapter 15? You know what the Bible says? Absalom stole the heart, the men of Israel. Now, he didn't, whenever they were sleeping, reach in and pull out the heart in each instance and store them up somewhere. No, he stole their emotions. He stole their affections. He won over in some way, and it was a deceptive way, as the Bible tells us. Those men that followed him didn't know it at the time, but they were being taken in and taken on. But at any rate, through his shrewdness and through his deceptiveness, he won over the love and the loyalty and the support of many people against David, Absalom's father. He stole their hearts. Then again, you remember in the Bible, we've seen it before, where there's such a thing as a merry heart. A merry heart doeth good. If anybody's merry, well then, there's an emotion. They're cheerful, they're outgoing. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's an emotion. Then again, the Bible speaks in the very same book of Proverbs of the heavy heart. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. We read where the psalmist said that God's precepts cause great rejoicing in his heart. So whenever we talk about the heart, we must always remember it's not only literal, it's not only metaphorical, it's not only mental, but there's the emotional sense as well. And these have all got to do with us, friend. We'll see this in a few moments. But there's another way. And that is, the heart is spoken of in a devotional sense in God's Word. Not only emotional, not only mental or intellectual, not only metaphorical, not only physical, but devotional. For instance, we learn that we've got to love with the heart. We read in chapter 6 of Genesis, and again the Lord Jesus, chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, and again the Lord Jesus referred to this when he was confronting the Pharisees, where God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love him with all thine heart." There's devotion. If you love somebody, you're devoted to them. And in this instance, it's the heart that's doing it. We're told in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, that we should serve the Lord with all our heart. So love and service, there's devotion there. If you're loving somebody or serving somebody, you're devoted to them. Or if you love something or serve something, you're equally devoted. Do you remember the time, and many of you would, in the book of Exodus, whenever the tabernacle had to be built, what were they going to use for funding and for materials? Well, the Bible tells us that many men and women, all who were willing-hearted gave of their substance and gave of their skills to provide all the furnishings and curtains and timber for the tabernacle. They all did it. Why? Because they were willing-hearted. They were devoted. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we are told that we should sing to the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. So there's the heart goes out in devotion. Another aspect of the heart. But there are two more. Very quickly, let me draw your attention to them. One of them, the heart is spoken of in the moral sense as well. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, God had this to say, and no doubt it caused him great pain. This is what he said about his creatures. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Morals are involved there, or lack of them. In Proverbs chapter 12 verse 8, he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. See how important the heart is, has brought before us in so many different ways. We're looking at it now with regard to the moral sense of a man. In Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3, the heart is full of evil and madness. That's what God sees when he looks down in the normal, natural heart. Full of evil and madness. And in Ezekiel chapter 6 verse 9, God says, I am broken with their whorish heart. Morals. The heart used in a moral sense. Another king who was not a Christian, King Abimelech, whenever God prevented him from doing a great wrong through this king's own ignorance, this is what the king said, in the integrity of my heart. Here's a man that felt that whatever else had happened, he had integrity. And it was linked with his heart. And the seventh one I want you to notice is this. The heart is spoken of in a spiritual sense in the Word of God as well. Physical, metaphorical, mental, emotional, devotional, moral, and now the spiritual sense. Very quickly, let me just make reference to these. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it's called a foolish heart. In chapter 2, verse 5, it's called an impenitent heart. In Mark 6, verse 52, the very disciples of the Lord that doubted his power were described as having a hard heart. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, the heart is described like stone. In Matthew 5, verse 8, the heart is described as pure. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, it's God which trieth our hearts. In Luke 24 and verse 32, we are told of a burning heart. And all of these were in the spiritual usage of the word. Now I know that we've looked at that pretty closely. In what sense then is Proverbs 4 and 23 speaking of with regard to the heart? I believe it's the mental, the emotional, the moral, the devotional and the spiritual. These are all brought together. And what did they tell us? They all stand for our being as we are as human beings and as Christians. That's what the heart is depicting here, whether it's in its emotional sense or devotional sense or whether it's in the spiritual sense or the moral sense or the mental sense. It is all looking at our life in different aspects of our being. It's very important for us to understand this. All right, what about the mental end? What are our thoughts like? What kind of thoughts are we given to if we reason with the heart? If we dream or fantasize with the heart or if we imagine with the heart? What are emotions like? Are they balanced or do they go over the top? Do we keep control over them? What are our devotions like? To whom are we devoted? To what are we devoted? Where does our commitment lie? Does it be commitment to Almighty God and His work, or commitment to our own ends, our own selfish ends? With regard to our morals, is our heart clean? We read of in the Bible where the psalmist says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. With regard to the spiritual use of the heart, are we dead in trespasses and sins? Or are we alive unto God? Is our heart in a healthy state with regard to God? Or, as we read in Ezekiel, the Lord says, a new heart will I give you. A heart of flesh. A new nature. He will make us a new creature. He will make us a new man, a new person. So that's the first thing. The perception that we must possess. We need to understand in what sense the Bible speaks of the heart whenever we see it in any given place. Now, the second thing is this, and I want you to notice this with regard to the heart. The uniqueness we must understand here. Notice what Solomon says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Men and women, that's got to be important about our hearts, about our beings. Out of the heart are the issues of life. This makes a matter of tremendous importance, what we're considering, because it has to do with life itself and the things that are associated with our lives. Let's take life for a moment. I don't think there's one here who would deny the vital importance of it. We want to hold on to it. We want the best quality of it for as long as we possibly can, even whenever we age and are growing old. And even though, thank God, there are many here going to heaven, we still don't want to go before our time. We want to hold on to life. That's why we make use of medication, why we sleep and eat and drink, and why we do all the things that are recommended to give us some kind of longevity and quality of our physical existence. Life. But then, what are the issues? He says, out of it. Out of this heart, out of life, are the issues of life. We read in Psalm 68 and verse 20, with God belong the issues from death. So the issues of life and of death are connecting the heart with God. Now, issues of our life. Well, first of all, our conduct. Let's just think of our conduct for a moment. Surely this has got to do with life. Take it with regard to others. What kind of relationship do we have with people in society? What kind of people are we like whenever we go into work or school? How do we relate to them? What are we like in the home? What are we like in church? What are we like in school? What's our conduct like with regard to others? What's our conduct like with regard to God? Remember, we're thinking of the issues of life. It's going to affect our conduct. What is our relationship to His law? Do we trample it underfoot? Do we ignore it? Do we cherry pick it? Do we take out the things that suit us and leave the other things out of the Ten Commandments that we do want to adhere to? His law. What about His work? What's our conduct like with regard to God's work? But then again, conduct, while it's important, it's not the most important. There's something more important than conduct, and that's character. Conduct is what we do. Character is what we are. Are we just? Are we upright? Are we disciplined? Are we righteous? Are we serene? This is what is part of the issues of life that Solomon's talking about, associated with our heart, our inner being, our whole personality. Because this is what Solomon is talking about here in the word heart. And then let me notice the illustrations of this great truth very quickly. I said earlier, there's a metaphor kind of veiled here. Let's read our text again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Is there not a picture here that comes before you? Out of it, the issues of life. The picture that I see here, first of all, is that of a reservoir. A reservoir that has got much water in it, or a fountain, or a well. But I can see that picture. And there are waters that stream from such, whether it's a private well, it'll supply your water in your home, or whether it's a reservoir that looks after certain parts of the country. Water streams from such. The water is sustaining, sustains life, and it cleans up our lives, our bodies, our physical lives. So our hearts are like that. Our personalities are like that. And there are things coming out of our personality that can either be a blessing or a curse to those that are going to come in contact with those things. You remember in Exodus 17, whenever the children of Israel thirsted, they wanted water, and God told Moses to take his rod and to smite the rock. And whenever Moses smote that rock, the water came out, provided for them. And the Bible says that rock was Christ, and it followed them throughout the wilderness. They were provided for with water every day. So I see a picture of a reservoir there. And I'm reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly, there's the innermost part, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, he himself can be satisfied, the person who has this. And when the waters flow out, others are going to be satisfied. And if you and I, my dear friend, have the right things in our lives, and if our hearts are right, there are going to be things that are flowing out of our hearts. I'm going to make to be a blessing everything that it comes in contact with. But I saw another picture here. I saw a picture of a farm. Again, the issues of life, they're associated with a farm. Milk and meat from animals, generally, and grain from the harvest, especially at harvest time. What's all that for? The meat and the grain is eventually turned into bread that we eat day by day. And all of this has to do with the issues of life. And a farm produces that. Or, on a smaller scale, a garden. Gardens produce vegetables. Gardens produce fruit. And what are these? What means whereby life is maintained and sustained? Let me give you one other. A hospital. There's not too many of us here not unfamiliar with a hospital. It's a place where births occur. The issues of life are to be found there, all right. It's a place where people's bodies and minds are cared for. And where, and we should never miss this, the vast majority of people who go into hospitals come out again better than what they were whenever they went in. The issues of life. Thanks to the skills of surgeons and consultants and doctors and nurses and ancillary staff. Big hospital, picture of the heart. The heart is like this. Whatever comes out of the hospital, whatever comes out of the farm, whatever comes out of the garden, whatever comes out of the reservoir is for the betterment of life. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said, and we are almost to a close here, but I want to read to you from Mark chapter 7, these words. The Lord told a parable. They didn't understand it. And then later, we read in verse 17 of Mark 7 that his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, are ye so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? But then in verse 20 he says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. The Lord says, from the heart, from within, the man's personality, the man's being. That, my dear friend, is why the heart is so important. If the waters of the reservoir are not clean but impure, then there's going to be sickness if we drink those waters. If a farm or a garden is neglected, then there's going to be no life-sustaining food. If a hospital is allowed to be run down and the staff become lazy and indifferent and uncaring and untidy, then disease and death will inevitably follow. All of these needs to be in pristine condition if they're going to fulfill their purpose of being a blessing to the fellow man. And that, my dear friend, is with the very same with regard to our heart. That has to be in the right condition. What condition is your heart in and mine? The real you, the real me. Are we in the best possible condition, sending out streams of blessing to a needy world all around? The heart, in the sense we are thinking of, is the mainspring of all our actions. It's the engine that drives the car. It's the SIM card and the battery in your cell phone. Without that, it'll not function. And the Lord Jesus said elsewhere, out of the abundance of the heart, the lips or the mouth speaketh. Whatever state our heart is in, and we've looked at it in these ways, the mental, the moral, the emotional, the devotional, and the spiritual, whatever state our hearts are in, is going to determine what flows out and what effect our lives are going to have on the others. And that brings us really to what Solomon was wanting to say. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And in God's will, we look about keeping the heart in our service tonight.